All right. Nebraska Court of Appeals is now in session. May all who come here be heard. May truth and justice be served by what we do here.
Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone to the November panel session in Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Larry Welch. I'm pleased to be joined here by Rico Bishop on my left, Judge Francie Reedman over on my right today. Our other panel is actually meeting in Kearney, and so we only have three matters here for today's session. I'll call them up one at a time. We just simply ask that you wait until your matter is called before you approach. As always, we like to remind you that because these matters are live streamed, in the event that there's any sensitive or confidential information, please keep that in mind in connection with your remarks. The first matter on the call is Ewing versus Evans, case number 823-0093. Ewing versus Evans. Please. Good afternoon, counsel.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. I would like to reserve 1 minute, though I don't know if I've ever had any time left over. I will try 1 minute.
Okay.
May it please the court, my name is Molly Burton. You may see Mona on my brief, but I usually call Molly. This is an appeal. I represent the appellant, Mr. Joseph Evans. This is an appeal of his amended complaint to modify. Also, an order forbidding Mr. Evans to take his son, Malik, to sweat lodges, and imputing income to Mr. Evans as far as the child support order that was entered. He's 90% disabled pursuant to the Veterans Administration, and the court imputed a minimum wage income on top of that.
Is there also a Social Security disability rating or no?
Not that I'm aware of, Judge. Mr. Evans and Ms. Ewing, never married, parents of Malik. He's now 10 years old. There was a order entered in 2015 pursuant to a stipulation wherein Ms. Ewing was awarded the sole legal and physical custody of Malik with some parenting time awarded to Mr. Evans and some holiday parenting time. At a couple months before that order was entered, Mr. Evans was active military. He suffered a pretty traumatic injury in a motor vehicle accident, broke his back, TBI, and that did occur prior to that 2015 order, but that at that time he was still active military. He did not anticipate or know the long-term effects of those injuries, and his plan actually was to someday return to active duty. And at that time, the military had put him on temporary disability. Now, fast forward to 2021, that is when Mr. Evans filed this complaint to modify. In 2020, he had been honorably discharged from the military, so he was no longer a possibility. The long-term effects he knew. When he was active military, it did require some travel, and you'll see some discourse between the briefs about what that travel entailed. But my recollection, what I noted in the brief, was that Mr. Evans, when he was active military, did require some extensive travel. I believe he testified both ends of Nebraska, taking him away from Lincoln. So that was not only is he active military, he doesn't travel pursuant to the military, and those are material changes that he alleged. And at this time, in 2021, he's now remarried. He has a toddler. Her name is Eleanor. And his wife was a traveling nurse, so he was actually the primary caretaker. So taking into account his injuries, he's still able to be a primary caretaker for Eleanor, probably having to sit for times, but he's able to do that. So at that time, he filed the complaint to modify. He also alleged, so that was one allegation of a material change. The other one were Malik's behaviors. And I'm going to say up front, I'm not arguing that. I don't believe I argued that in the brief. And Mr. Evans, in his trial testimony, acknowledged and admitted by the time we went to trial, Malik's behaviors had improved, was diagnosed with oppositional defiant disorder, and by all accounts, he was doing much better. His third grade teacher testified to that as well. An amended complaint to modify was filed alleging an additional material change, and that was the sweat lodges.
So just to back up a little bit, are you abandoning that material change?
I am. I will abandon
on the behavioral?
Yes.
Okay.
The third allegation is there was a temporary order entered wherein the trial court on a temporary basis forbid Mr. Evans from taking a minor child, Malik, to sweat lodges. Mr. Evans testified, while he's not an enrolled member, his grandmother is an enrolled Native American. He grew up the Native way, going to sweat lodges, for example. He wanted to share that with Malik. He was using this as a part of healing from his injuries and wanted to share that, like I said, with his son.
Do you take the position that that's a religious practice?
I knew I was going to be asked that.
And the answer is?
I think it's a hybrid. I could not find a case on point. But I do believe it's spiritual, which is akin to religion. And the cases that are cited by both counsel talk about religion. I can tell you that the Native American culture is celebrated by our country based on the history. We have the Indian Child Welfare Act, for example. So their culture and traditions are noted by our legislators, both at the federal and the state level, that they should be acknowledged and celebrated. So I do believe it's akin to religion, and I believe those cases are helpful and instructive.
Do you have any response? There wasn't a reply brief, so do you have a response now to Mr. Bacon's argument in the brief that Lideau's heightened scrutiny no longer applies in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's Smith case?
Well, it hasn't been answered yet, and if it's not strict scrutiny, then it's rational basis, or Mr. Bacon even says maybe it's not even rational basis, maybe it's best interest. But regardless of the standard, you have to show that that practice leads to some kind of harm on the child, whether it's via expert testimony, which was done in Ledoux, and I believe the Garrett case, both had expert testimony that the religious practice imparted some kind of harm to the child, not just generalized testimony. We did not have it, have that in this
but,
case.
But if it's not a religious practice, if it's not grounded in religion, isn't it simply a best interest question?
That may very well be. And my argument is even if it's just best interest, it still fails.
Because
there's no harm to the child. There was no testimony that taking Malik to these events, these ceremonies, was harmful to
him.
Wasn't
there some evidence that he acted out worse than usual after a weekend where he'd been to a sweat lodge? Wasn't there also evidence that your client had actually had some negative physical responses to the sweat lodge?
There was evidence that Mr. Evans, I believe it was a Sundance, which is extended more than just the 2 hours in the sweat lodge. I believe that's the evidence, Your Honor.
Well, wasn't there evidence that in the sweat lodge he had to lower himself to the ground
yes.
to try to find some cool air because he was overheating, apparently?
I believe that was the evidence, Judge. And even the evidence also was that people observed Malik in the sweat lodge. He was happy. He was joyful. He was singing. He liked the readings. And again, it was a bonding experience. And people can go in and out. There's kids 6 months old, 1 year old. Little Eleanor was going to the sweat lodges. And the judge, instead of absolutely prohibiting it, and not only did she do it on a temporary basis, she also awarded $2,000 in attorney fees, as an aside. But she could have said, perhaps, you can take Malik, but every 10 minutes you have to take him outside. But this is a forever bar of something that Mr. Evans wants to share with his son.
So I think that that's one issue, right, the actual barring of this act. But let's go back into the context of, was there a material change in circumstances? Is the fact that a parent has been denied the ability to take his or her child to an event out of the country, is that a material change in circumstances warranting a review of custody, or is that simply trying to get permission from the court to allow the child to engage in something that the custodial parent isn't permitting?
And I believe I noted in my brief, I did not address it as part of material change.
Okay.
I addressed it as a standalone order.
Okay.
I agree it should not be a material change just to impact custody.
Okay, so getting back to material change, then the only thing that we have is that his employment situation changed?
his employment and his ability to spend more time and be in Lincoln. He did not know that at the time the 2015 order was put into place.
But that may be temporary, correct? Because he's been working on an educational plan to get a master's degree in clinical psychology, I believe, and has testified that he wants to work.
At the time, he had not found employment, and he had not graduated yet, and that will be covered in the child support. We don't know how much he can work or how often he can work.
But there was
or whether or not he can work from home, for example.
Well, there was quite a bit of evidence, wasn't there, that he was doing quite a lot of activity taking him outside the home in order to meet the degree that he was seeking. Clinical work, he was having different organizations that he was meeting with. So he was pretty active.
And he needed to do that on a temporary basis to get that degree. He was close to graduating, I believe, by the last day of trial. So we do not know what his employment status, how often he would be working. He did testify he only wanted to seek part-time work.
Does a parent's change in the work commitment warrant or constitute a material change in circumstances to affect custody, or is that something that maybe just impacts parenting time?
I believe it can impact custody, Judge.
Okay.
I see I have 34 seconds left. I'd like to reserve that time. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Joel Bacon. I represent the appellee, Susan Ewing. Each of the issues in this case is reviewed under an abuse of discretion standard, and the district court acted well within its discretion on each of the issues presented. I'm going to start with the custody issue. So I think there's, as the court knows, that's a two-step analysis. Has there been material change in circumstances? What's in the best interest of the child if there has been a material change in circumstances? In concluding there was not a material change in circumstances, the district court acted within its discretion. The accident that is the focal point of the supposed change in circumstances happened 2 months before the original custody order. To the extent we're talking about travel, the record indicates that there were two times that there was travel outside the state, and it's at best murky how much the travel within state would have affected any sense.
So the court in its order in finding that there was no material change in circumstance stated the extent of his deployment or travel with the National Guard was two trips to Camp Riley, Kansas, and they were not overnight trips. But that's just the post-injury travel, because he did testify that he was required to travel overnight within the state multiple times.
Yeah, that's correct. So it would have been, I don't clearly remember if he testified he went overnight within the state. I think there was testimony he went twice outside the state overnight. Another point there, Your Honor, would be that happened at this point in time, it was 8 years ago. It would have been 6 years ago when the petition was brought. The record indicates he may not have been had a formal discharge, but it was clear he's never going back into the military, and I think the district court can say, well, then that's not a material change in circumstance given what should have been apparent shortly thereafter, and waiting that long indicates this isn't a material change.
So a parent loses an opportunity to claim a material change in circumstance if they don't bring it timely? Is that your position?
Yeah, I think it needs to be. I think it's consistent with the inquiry that if you have a material, one of the focuses, is it material? Well, if it's material, then it stands that you should be getting into courts as soon as you can so that we get in place for that child if it is, in fact, a material change in circumstances.
Does the fact that there's a delay suggest it's not viewed as material by the party?
Exactly. Yep, exactly. Once you're past that, then it's the best interest of the child analysis. And on that prong, again, the court did not abuse its discretion. This is a classic case of don't rock the boat. Malik has ODD. He was diagnosed with that in 2018, and the record is there is several pieces of evidence that show that through the current custody arrangement, with my client being the point person, that issue has been addressed. The diagnosis occurred, the treatment occurred, that includes counseling, that includes medication, and so there's evidence that Malik has turned a corner. Mr. Evans' own testimony was that it's night and day. There's no reason to, as I mentioned earlier, there's no reason here to rock the boat, and the district court acted well within its discretion in concluding that there had not been a material change in circumstances.
Mr. Bacon, can you jump to the imputing minimum wage income at 40 hours a week issue, given the physical limitations?
Yeah, so the district court, there were two parts of that. There's the military disability pay, and then the court imputed a full-time minimum, the equivalent of a full-time minimum wage job. The evidence that supports that conclusion is that Mr. Evans was able to go and get his master's degree. He was, during the course of that, he was able to hold several internships. He was also able to conduct a group meeting for therapy 3 times a week for 6 hours per day, all while doing his classwork. All of that's indicative that he has the ability to work. The testimony was at the first day of trial that he intended to find employment. The next day of trial, he indicated that he hadn't applied for anything, but he'd made some calls around and then told that no one would accommodate his disability, which the court, again, would have been well within its discretion in rejecting that. That's against the backdrop of the American with Disabilities Act, the Nebraska Fair Employment Practices Act, which requires employers to accommodate disabilities and engage in an interactive process with employees.
Wasn't his intent to find part-time employment because he didn't think he could work a full 40 hours?
That's what he testified, that he at least wanted to find part-time employment.
And does not the 90% disability from the VA kind of support that?
So the record's not very clear on exactly what that means and whether that means, well, he can't do his military job, or whether that means he can't do any job. And so I think the indication is the fact that all the things I mentioned earlier, completing the coursework, doing internships, conducting the group meetings, I think we also need to take into consideration his wife's testimony, which was, well, what he'd like to do is stay home with the children and be able to take care of them. Well, that taking care of children is going to involve the kind of at least limited lifting that presumably you could do in a minimum wage type job.
So maybe you answered my question there. So I'm thinking a 90% disability, can we stack that on top of a full 40-hour imputed income? Right? You're going to get 90% disability, and we're going to impute 40 hours to you. Can you stack those together? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm not going to purport to be an expert in military disability, but my understanding is that basically, yes, you can, as long as it's not 100% rating, you can receive military disability pay and still be working.
Am I recalling correctly that somewhere in the record, or maybe it was just in the brief, suggested in the brief, that he was able to attain this master's degree courtesy of the U.S. government through the Veterans Program, which I believe he may have testified about a vocational rehabilitation plan that provided that there were different jobs or whatever. And so was there any evidence in that in terms of what restrictions he may have had that made him eligible for the plan that they put him on to get a master's degree in psychology?
I cannot point you to a place in the record that says that. I'm sorry for that.
If, as it relates to him being a stay-at-home parent, if we're imputing 40 hours on top of that, you can't stay at home, do we have to give it credit for child care then against that number? You see what I mean?
Yeah, potentially if that's the analysis, then that might be in play. The district court didn't go down that route. I don't think you have to go down that route to reach there's other things that support that he's capable of working a full-time job too.
And the child support calculations used a Prochaska method, right? They gave him credit for his older daughter. It gave him credit for his daughter with his current spouse. Those were all factored into
it. Yeah, that's my hint.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And it was minimum wage,
minimum
right?
Wage.
Which
that's
is
correct. Yes.
Assumably not what he would earn as a counselor with a master's degree, right?
Presumably someone who goes and handles a job with a master's degree in counseling would earn more than minimum wage.
All right, before we run out of time, is the sweat lodge a religious practice? What's your position?
There's evidence in the record that supports that the conclusion that it isn't, and under an abuse of discretion standard, I think the district court acted within its discretion. And for example, Mr. Evans' spouse testified when point blank asked, is this a religion? The response is, no, it's not a religion. It's a cultural thing. There's also testimony from Mr. Evans himself, who referred to this as being he was raised in the indigenous way, which again reflects that it's a cultural thing and not a religious component. It might be very important culturally. I understand that. I'm appreciative of that, but the court wouldn't have abused its discretion in saying this is not a religious matter.
There wasn't any evidence he was a member of a tribe.
The actual evidence is that he could not be a member of the tribe given the requirements that goes with being a member of the tribe.
And Roan Eagle testified that people of all religions attend, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Yeah.
So if it's not a religious practice, do you agree with Judge Bishop's question earlier that it's just been a best interest analysis at that stage?
I agree. It would be a best interest standard. And obviously our contention is that given the Anaya cases, and the gloss that they put on the previous Nebraska Supreme Court cases that say that, at least the Palmer case, that's not the right standard. I think it's a straight best interest of the child, regardless.
Regardless, right.
So was the appellee's testimony regarding the child's behaviors after coming back from a stay with dad only when the child had been to the sweat lodge?
No, it was broader than that.
So how can we say the sweat lodge has a negative effect on the child?
Well, one piece of evidence there is that we know that there was at least one situation where Malik became frightened and had to leave. So that's indicative that it's not healthy for him. And I think there's also just a common sense component to it too, where the evidence is this is 103 degrees, it's dark. The point of that climate is to instill fear with the idea that then you'll overcome that fear.
Was the testimony the child had to leave or the father had to leave?
My recollection is, and I hope I'm not misremembering, but that the child had to leave because he became scared.
Okay.
Your time's up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I think you had about 33 seconds left, if I'm right. Is it 31?
31.
All right.
Thank you.
And I'm so sorry to jab right into your 31 seconds, but is that your recollection as well, that the child had to leave? If not, I can go back and look at the bill.
I apologize, Your
okay.
Honor.
I know the father had to leave.
I know the father,
okay.
As Your right. Honor's indicated,
go ahead.
To
20 seconds,
down.
Go ahead.
Okay. briefly, child support of the record is clear that Mr. Evans receives a 90% disability that was raised from 80% at the start of the case. It was raised to 90%. There was evidence that he did try to do a minimum wage job at Pizza Hut.
In 2015, before PT.
Okay.
Was there any evidence in the record that just because somebody has a VA disability rating that they are unable to work?
No. And actually, Mr. Evans wants to work, Your Honor. And I think he should be congratulated for that he wants to work, and even if it's part-time, he wants to support himself and his family, but I don't believe the evidence supports imputing the income based on the record, Judge.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The matter submitted. Thank you both. Okay, the next matter is State versus Graham, case number 823-0001.